Now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hey, and welcome to another shiny and new Shout Out.
This week, Bridge to a Five.
And we talk to Andy and Theresa about the new NHS Rainbow Initiative.
And as we go into Black History Month, we have Kiki Podcast.
News, views and some tracks.
All right here in the next hour.
Always brings back memories, doesn't it, when you hear that track?
Well,
does it take you back to Queer as Folk?
No, I wasn't really a Queer as Folk person, sorry.
Okay.
I know.
Where have you been for a long time? I haven't seen you for ages. You've been in Scotland?
No, not me, Scotland. I've just been working and studying and writing and, yeah, I'm looking after kids.
And of course, you're also doing Mindline, are you not?
I used to. I've now finished Mindline.
Oh, have you? And is it still going, the trans?
Yes, the trans line is now in its third year.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah.
And is that still restricted service?
So Transline is on a Monday and Friday, 8 p.m. to midnight, and it's national, so it actually covers the whole of the UK. And they occasionally get the callers from places like Tenerife.
Really?
Yeah. People. It's travelling. It's a really amazing service.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, there's starting to be other services, but, you know, it's there. People get 30 minutes to talk, and it's just an amazing service, really. It allows people that we'd otherwise probably...
So kudos to the people who actually man the line.
Yeah, absolutely. So they're just taking a new inset lot of volunteers. So every time they take about two or three trans people on. And
really?
That trans, queer, questioning, you know, that whole kind of, you know, umbrella envelope.
That's brilliant. And, of course, it's the start of Black History Month this month. And we've got the Kiki podcast later on. And we've also... we have... Kiki doing some specials as the month goes on. So Lara's organising that one, and also Lara will be presenting a couple of times as well as the month goes on as well. And also we got a special from the police. So they've got a person of colour now actually in charge of the LGBTQ section.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so...
That's pretty cool.
Yes, it is, yeah. Right, and talking of Alad and Brixtow 5, let's get on with that.
The Outshout My 5 on Shoutout Radio.
Hello and welcome to October's edition of the Brixtow My 5. This month you've only got me, it's Alad again. Hello everybody. So just before we kick off, I just want to say massive love and solidarity and support to Gareth Thomas and to Jonathan Van Ness, who have both come out as HIV positive since the last podcast, and the amount of awareness and education and work that they've done in such a short amount of time is incredible, and they are amazing role models for our community to have. Also, it's the beginning of October and that marks Black History Month, so to everybody listening, have a great month and happy Black History Month to you all. So I just want to take this opportunity to promote a consultation event that is happening on the 22nd of October. That's a Tuesday. It's at Hamilton House. There are two times for the consultation event. You can either attend a 12:30 till 3 o'clock in the afternoon session, or a 5:45 till 8 o'clock in the evening session. If you attend in the lunchtime session, then lunch will be provided, and in the evening, some refreshments and some light snacks. This is to hear the voice of the people living in Bristol. And it is going to make a part of the action plan for fast track cities. Fast track cities were started in Paris a number of years ago, and there's already 7 cities in the UK that have signed up. It is a global initiative, and it is to the city's commitment to ending the HIV response. So it is making sure that we have 0 new diagnosis by 2030. We improve the quality of life for people living with HIV. We also want to end all HIV-related stigma and discrimination and have 0 AIDS-related deaths. So it is a really exciting time for Bristol. It's the first time in Bristol that all of the third sector organisations, so us and THT, as well as Bristol City Council and public health and academics and clinics and physicians are all coming together for a collaborative response into making sure that Bristol is meeting those UN targets of 90-90-90. So 90% of people are diagnosed as positive, know that they're positive, 90% of those people being on treatment, and then 90% of people on treatment being undetectable. But we need an action plan. We need to know what the priorities are in Bristol. Where are the gaps? How can we improve testing? Where can we improve testing? How can we do that? What communities do we need to focus our responses on? How can we end stigma and discrimination? And how can we improve the quality of life for people living with HIV? So we need Bristol to be able to tell us that. We need to hear from you. So you can register for the event. It is free using Eventbrite. If you go onto our social medias, you can click the link there. They are the pinned tweet and Facebook post. Or if you just Google search Fast Track Cities Bristol, it will come up and you can register with your details there, and we hope to see you. We need everybody to be able, or as many people as we can, to come to these events. We need you to tell us. We need all genders, all demographics, all sexualities, faith leaders, people from disproportionately affected communities. We need to hear from you so we can feed that into the action plan, which Fast Track Cities is going to make up part of Bristol City Council's wider One City plan. So there is a real commitment here. That will then feed into our action plan, and that we will be signed off as a Fast Track City on the 30th of November at an event in the Watershed, and more details on that will come to follow. So remember, do go on to our social medias. It's at Brigstow Info on Twitter and on Facebook, and at Brigstow on Instagram. Go on to our website. All the information you need is there. Or like I said, do a Google search and register on the Eventbrite link. I'm popping into shout out to talk more about Fast Track Cities. So listen up in the next couple of weeks and I will be on the airwaves. But until then, have a great Black History Month, have a great October, and I will see you all soon. Thank you, bye.
If you have a story you could tell in 5 minutes, get in contact. Visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt. Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
Taking us right back to the 60s there. That's my favourite reggae track, that one. Bob and Marcia, Young, Gifted in Black.
Did you say reggae, or maybe there's a touch of ska about that, isn't it? I mean, I know there's a bit of a crossover, but it's got that sort of ska beat going.
Do you reckon it's ska rather than reggae?
I don't know. What does...
I'm not an expert in either of them.
Yeah, I think Andy's nodding that it's a bit ska, yeah.
Okay.
And he's, you know... skinhead scar from the late 60s.
To be specific.
Yes. Or before my time.
Yeah, okay. Before my time too.
Definitely before mine.
Okay, way before yours. Way. Yes, Nappies.
Great track, great track.
Yeah, and good evening to Terry and Hans who...
Hello.
Yep, you're going to be reading news.
Good evening.
Well, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Would you like to?
I will add a touch of glamour as well, of course.
From your good self?
Always. You know me.
It won't be coming from me. This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 3rd of October.
The Duke of Sussex has made an unusual intervention into the world of politics and media. It is rare for members of the royal family to make their feelings known on any social issue, but His Royal Highness has sharply criticised the UK's somewhat lawless and unregulated tabloid newspapers. Although he did not mention them by name, his remarks are particularly aimed at the Mail on Sunday, a right-wing paper with a less than stellar reputation on reporting LGBT rights, as well as those of other minorities, such as immigrants and refugees. Prince Harry said that his wife, Meghan, was being harassed and targeted by the paper in the same way that his much-loved mother Diana was. Diana was hounded by the tabloid media, and they arguably contributed to her death when her car was chased by press photographers in a Paris motor route in August 1997. The Mail on Sunday recently published private correspondence written by the Duchess, according to BBC Radio 1. Now, although there are many LGBT people who are Republican in their politics, they nevertheless welcomed Prince Harry's remarks as they helped publicise the nefarious influence of the Mail on Sunday on political discourse.
October is Black History Month in the United Kingdom, although not in the United States, where the month is LGBT History Month. However, this convergence gives us the opportunity to celebrate and look at intersectional identities for LGBT people of colour, sometimes known as QTPOC communities. UK Black Pride is a network operating nationally for people of African, Caribbean, Latin American, Asian and South Asian backgrounds who also identify as LGBTQ+. They write, Black History Month is not only about revisiting the icons and titans who inspire us to keep moving, but also a month to let out a collective sigh and have fun. With that in mind, the former Gay Times magazine cover star Lady Phil has curated a playlist especially for Black History Month, which features artists as diverse as Bobby Brown and Coffee and ranges the whole gamut of African Caribbean inspired music. You can listen on Apple Music via the UK Black Pride website. If you receive your entertainment from the radio, then in the Bristol area, our sister station Ujima Radio on 98 FM will be covering Black History Month in detail. Nationally, the BBC network One Extra will be broadcasting a wide range of music and entertainment interviews and features to explore Black British identity.
Hidaya, the national network for LGBTQ people from a Muslim background, has a new range of clothing available on their website. The group has enjoyed remarkable success since it started and has grown faster than other LGBT Muslim organisations, with a mixture of strong media appearances and strong contingents at major pride events. Meanwhile, another network for LGBT Muslims, Iman, is working hard to crowdfund for their own Muslim Pride event. You can find out more from them, by searching for Iman London on most web search engines.
Opinionated millionaire Alan Sugar has earned new notoriety with his latest intolerant tweets about people who use gender-neutral pronouns. Mr. Sugar said that anybody who advocated the use of non-specific gender pronouns should be shipped to Mongolia. Mr. Sugar was sharply criticised on social media by many activists, but hit back by widening his scopes, implying that anti-sexists and anti-racists were also far too sensitive and willing to be offended. In retaliation, others execrated the host of BBC Television's The Apprentice. One remarked, Mr. Sugar has been part of the deterioration in public life for many years. He shouts out and berates contestants he bullies and has built an empire on financial exploitation of others. He claims to be a socialist and a supporter of the Labour Party, but he's an adversary of working people and the last person we should take moral guidance from.
On Sunday, Unison led thousands in protest at the start of the Conservative Party conference in Manchester. the largest public sector trade union, said in a press release, Unison members in the Northwest, who have been fighting on the front line of public service cuts for the past decade, led the protest with balloons and banners stating, "Don't you Trump our NHS." Members in the Northwest are currently involved in two industrial disputes, with hospital workers in Blackpool and St Helens currently in the midst of three-day strikes. Unison's regional secretary for the Northwest, Kevin Nelson, said the two industrial disputes which our members are engaged in currently are a direct result of a damaging austerity and outsourcing agenda pursued by Conservative governments through the last decade. Now, the protest at the Tory party conference gained the support of various people on the political left of the LGBTQ movements. As if to underline the point, the newswire Pink News suggested that Boris Johnson's government was stuffed full of people who do not want to pursue gay or trans issues, and that Brexit, as they envisaged it, could jeopardise our hard-won freedoms. Meanwhile, Peter Tatchell, the well-known gay human rights campaigner, wrote for the Guardian newspaper that he had taken part in a fringe debate at the Tory conference on Islamophobia. He said that he disputed the fact that delegates at the debate were anti-Muslim, but that many had expressed a concern that the Islamophobic accusation was being used to shut down legitimate debate on women's, atheist and LGBT freedoms within that religious culture.
Jane Sheehy, a correspondent writing in Totally TV Guide, praises the new series of pop quiz show Supermarket Sweep, which has been revived for commercial television and is hosted by gay celeb presenter Rylan Clark Neal. In a previous run back in the 90s, the show was hosted by another gay favourite, the late Dale Winton. Mr. Sheehy says that Dale would be delighted at the work that Rylan has put in at making the Revive programme a great success.
Much missed, Dale Winton. For these news stories and more, you can check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Hans Peregrine
and Terry Starr.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Right, we're talking to the NHS. Not everybody. They're not all squeezed into the studio, just in case you were wondering how we got everyone in. Andy Hull and Teresa Sullivan from University Hospital's Bristol NHS Foundation Trust. Good evening.
Hello.
Good evening.
Okay.
Is that this rainbow badge thing? Is it a badge? Is that lanyard?
It's a badge. Okay. It's a little metal pin with a rainbow on, and the letters NHS on there.
Okay,
what it says on the tin.
And does everyone have to wear it, or is it choice?
No, people don't have to wear it. It's a scheme that started at the Evelina Children's Trust in London. Partly because of some of the issues that young trans people and young LGB people face in healthcare. And they started it. And the best thing for me about the scheme is that colleagues have to sign up for it. They have to make a positive decision to be part of this scheme. We're not just giving out badges or lanyards to anybody who might want one. Mm. We ask them to read some information and sign a pledge, sign a form to say that they understand what wearing a badge means.
So it's an informed decision.
It's an informed decision.
Yeah.
It's
all right.
Yeah, wrong mic. I'll speak into this one.
All right.
Okay. You stay over there in that one, okay? Do you know what I found is that, for me, the worst place as a trans person that's been, for me, in my experience, is the NHS.
Oh.
Going into hospital every time has been a negative experience for me. And I always thought, I was never frightened of going into hospitals because I thought everyone is going to be broad-minded, the nurses are going to have seen everything, so there's no prejudices. And yet I hit a brick wall with prejudice and transphobia. Not all the time. A lot of the time it was very friendly. So is this initiative to make people more aware of difference coming into the hospital?
Yes, it helps to make people aware of the difference and also where they can signpost people for support. So whether that's supporting coming out or support networks that are available for the patients and the staff, because it's not just about staff. This is also about our patients and be able to say we are open, we are able sort of to talk to people and to be a listening post. most for people, and also to raise awareness that actually things are different for different groups of society. So, for example, as a gay man, it might be more uncomfortable for me to talk to someone who is a woman about my sexual experience in a sexual health setting, and for a trans person, it may be a difficult discussion to talk about things that maybe are of a more personal nature. So it's about raising that awareness within our staff and also with our patients that we're here and we're open to those conversations, and to sort of be supportive of our staff and patients.
Is this a Bristol initiative or is this spread throughout the country?
It's a national initiative. It started at the Evelina Trust in London, but it is spread now to over 100 trusts by this week. So it is a big national thing. Yeah. It's not just a local one. We as UH Bristol are the first trust in this area to do it, but there are other trusts. I think I saw the Liverpool Children's Hospital were posting about it on Twitter today, so they've launched today.
So the children's hospitals are also being involved in the education?
For UH Bristol, this is across the whole of the trust. It's not just the children's hospital, it's across all of our parts of our organisation. So South Bristol, the BRI, the dental, the eye, St Michael's Hospital as well.
So that's everyone you come in contact with, including the GP surgeries?
They come separately because that's under the CCG, so that's a separate organisation.
And the ambulance service?
They're separate again. It's just your city centre hospitals.
Okay. And so the other thing I wanted to know is there like information, you've created information for everyone to read? Is it readily available sort of information?
Yes, it is. It's, again, we based it on the information produced by the Evelina Trust, who've been very generous in sharing their toolkit. Mm. And yes, the information is on our staff intranet. It's also available in hard copy for people who come up to the stands where we've been launching the badges. And it's really important. We have really emphasised that people need to read that so they have some sort of basic understanding of the issues. None of us can understand all of it at the moment, but it's there to say, we'll listen. We're trying to be an inclusive organisation. And another great thing for me, it started lots of conversations within the organisation between staff, conversations they may not have had before. So we're hoping that it's going to open everything up to a conversation, to people being more prepared if they wanted to share their own experiences. And so and the badge is a sign to say to colleagues or to patients and their families, you can talk to me. I'll listen to you. I might not have all the answers. I'll try and signpost you in the right direction, but we're trying.
Yeah.
Can you tell us more about the Evelina Trust?
So they're a children's trust in London. They're part of Guy's and St Thomas's. And they, I'm not entirely certain why it started there, but it was based on a lot of research about the experience of LGBT plus people in healthcare, and especially young people. And there are some statistics, quite frightening statistics. For example, more LGBT plus teenagers and their peers self-harm or attempt suicide. And that's from a Stonewall school report from 2017.
And it only takes one adult to recognise them to actually reduce that risk quite substantially. So I guess
absolutely,
your rainbow badges can make a huge difference, maybe even when families don't even know that they've got a member of the family that's in, they can actually talk to someone maybe that's a little bit removed.
Yeah, and who might then be able to help them or signpost them to an organisation which will help them find the words, if you like, to come out to their families or to talk to their families.
I guess you're removing that shame. I guess that's a fundamental thing.
Yeah, it's about removing that shame, and also from the organisation's point of view, this is not something that's just been done by the LGBT Forum, which I'm the male chair of. This has also been done in conjunction with the HR for the Trust and the Trust as a whole, so it's a Trust-wide initiative, not just something that's been driven by the LGBT Forum of the organisation, so it's fully supported across the board.
That's right. So the executive team said, yes, we really want to go for this. Yeah. And then the hospitals local charity Above and Beyond, who they raise money for the city centre hospitals, provided the funding for the badges. So big thank you, Above and Beyond. We couldn't be doing without you.
Yes. So it truly is something that both the organisation and all those around the organisation believe in, and to try and encourage more people to be supportive of it. And also those discussions, if it saves someone from feeling like they're alone, that's the whole point of what we're doing, to say that actually people aren't alone. People can come and have that conversation. And also, if members of staff feel uncomfortable and want to raise an issue, it's about saying that that is a person who's wearing that badge that actually will listen and might be able to give some advice or point them in the right direction.
And also, Steffi, obviously we hope, we really hope that one of the things that will come out of this is to mean that LGBT people won't have the sort of experiences that you've had when in the healthcare system.
Well, things do change, and obviously you're putting a lot of energy into that change. Is there formal training for staff for diversity, for nurses, doctors, and...
We are starting that. Yeah, well, we have basic equality, diversity and human rights training. Also, quite recently, we've had a couple of members of the Diversity Trust come in and do training for our nurses and clinicians. And there's going to be more of that, because you can't beat training by trainers who've lived that experience.
Yes.
And that's what they've done. And that's so important. And then we'll see what happens. But and another thing that is great is there's a huge appetite for knowledge, for learning within the organisation, and that's another massive thing.
Yeah. Now, going back to patients, now, some people must be quite nervous sometimes, because they're going into something where they've got an illness, but they're also LGBTQ, or identify as any one of those letters and the others that follow. Now, that nervousness and stress is going to be amplified. Are your staff aware of the extra stress on LGBTQ people, especially maybe trans people?
Yes, that's one of the things that we're trying to work to putting together a policy, an overarching policy for trans patients and staff, so that we can raise awareness of these things within our own staff, and actually say that there's things that we can do to alleviate that, alleviate situations, whether it's sort of asking the patient in question how they want to be treated, what personal pronoun they want to be called. It's all things like that, and actually raising that awareness across the organisation. We're just starting that piece of work at the moment, and we hope to have that done within the next year or so. So we're involving some patient involvement groups, and also involving staff from across the organisation, so we get sort of the clinical points of view and all the sort of legal points of view as well, so we make sure that the policy is the best that it can be. Also learning from other trusts in the area and outside of the areas. So Morecambe Bay, for example, up in the north, they have a really wonderful policy on transgender care, and it's sort of looking at those things like that, and Torbay hospitals, taking the best by talking to all those places and actually picking up experiences from patients, from Trans Health Watch and other health watch groups, to try and pull the best that we can for our patients and our staff.
Right, before we go, because we're out of time, can you tell us how people can read more about what you're up to? Web information, website, or even for NHS staff listening to this, the intranet.
So our staff at University Hospitals Bristol can find all the information on Connect, which is sadly only for our staff.
Yes, yeah.
What we are going to be, there will be some information on the University Hospitals Bristol website within the next week or so. We're waited, again, this is learning from the London Trusts, for the badges to kind of reach critical mass number amongst staff, so that people start seeing them around. And then there'll be some information on the Trust website about what they are and why people are wearing them.
Okay. Thank you, Alex. Andy, thank you very much.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Very handsome man. Just saying. Right, Kiki podcast time.
Hey!
It's Lara and Nushat from Kiki. Today we're going to be talking to you about bisexuality, having been Bisexuality Visibility Day on the 23rd of September. I went through identifying as bi at one stage, and Nushat has just come out as bi. And so we're just talking about what it's like to do that in a late stage of life, mm-hmm. And not necessarily understanding it from a young age. So, yeah. Hey, just tell me about your who you are and like your history and your heritage.
Hey, I am Nushat. I am a final year PhD student at Bristol University doing geology. I am, for anyone interested in my heritage, I'm a British Bengali. And I say Bengali because I have family from both parts of the Bengal. And I was born in Bangladesh, and I moved to London when I was about 1 year old. So, you know, for anyone asking where I'm from London. That's where my home is, and that's where my heart is.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
But you still have a deep love for your Bengali past and things like that.
Of course, of course. I started the Cambridge University Bangla Society, and I still, like, am attached to that.
Yeah, you gotta be, you gotta be. So, we're talking about today about coming out as bi. So, what's your story been like? You realised that 26, I think?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, this has been a story that I've heard from a few other women as well. I was in a long-term relationship from an early adult age. So since 19, I was in a committed relationship, and that was for about 6.5 years. And so at this time, you know, most people are, you know, exploring their sexuality and realizing more about their identity, whereas I didn't really start to question that, my sexuality, until that relationship ended, when I started dating, started learning about, you know, what kind of people I am attracted to.
And it's a big thing, isn't it? When I first started thinking about it, I didn't... It kind of took me by surprise, and then suddenly it's just this massive flood of questions, like, who am I? What
exactly.
do I actually... Like,
it was a really spontaneous feel, because I didn't realise that I had this gravitation towards men, that I was attracted to towards women as well.
Yeah.
It took me, like, quite a few moments of reflection, saying, like, actually, no, this pull that I have towards men, I have towards women too.
It's weird because everyone says, well, not everyone, but those deniers of our a whole group LGBT, they say it's a choice, but it can't be a choice, because it's just suddenly, like, you know, like, you, and once you know, you've realized it's been in your life for all of your life. You just kind of suppressed it because of the society and heterosexuality is pushed on us, instead of actually allowing us to establish who we are and what we're attracted to.
Yeah, I think one of the most frustrating thing when I was actually talking to my friends about, I think I am bisexual, the number one question that came up was, like, how do you know you're bisexual?
Mm.
And it's frustrating because, you know, when before I had my first boyfriend, no one really asked, like, well, how do you know you're really straight?
Yeah, yeah.
We just, like, assume it. And then when someone says they're attracted to women, it's always questioned. And because people kept asking, like, how do you know you're bi? I had this pressure put on myself that I had to achieve these dating milestones with women. And it was really frustrating, because I felt like I was, like, pushing myself into situations that I might not be ready
yeah.
for yet.
Like, you don't get really time to develop because you're trying to prove that you are bi. Like, I had a lot of my friends saying, are you sure you're bi? Like, you're bi? You haven't had enough men yet? And, like, I've told you guys about this before, but it's a constant thing. Like, it's sad to me that it hasn't changed, because it is something you feel, like, constantly mm-hmm. on your chest. Do you know what I mean? Like, you haven't done enough. And particularly mm-hmm. with dating in the LGBT community, within Bristol as well, is there's not that many people of BME who go out and
yeah.
like who you want to who you interact with. And that you were saying about Tinder, right? Like, when you're on Tinder, you see a lot of white folks who fetishize you.
Yeah. So what was really frustrating was that I guess the hardest part about coming out as bi is trying to be part of the community. And I found, like, once you're outside of university, it's a lot harder to meet people or to even be given some kind of platform to navigate this journey.
Yeah, because you feel alone, don't you?
Yeah, so most of my friends are straight. So when I wanted to explore these queer community and events, I didn't really have people that I could, that were close to me, that I could be like, hey, come along with me.
And you get that whole you're an imposter kind of look.
Exactly.
When you are, because I don't know what this means, but apparently we're quite straight looking. Many people have told us this, and I don't know, I get it because we're more femme, but it does not equate to being straight at all.
Yeah.
So when you are in these club situations, you do feel like it's a lot, like people just don't ever like talk to you like you are because you look straight, inverted commas, as I just did.
I think some of these communities as well that say that they're trying to be inclusive actually end up kind of being exclusive because they feel like you have to be a certain way to be part of the community. So sometimes when I was starting to go to all these events, I remember like coming in and being all smiley and bubbly and then just being like approached with this kind of like uncertainty and a little bit of hostility.
Literally, like, because I remember when I first started dating women and like men, men would ask me like, oh, so you're gonna run off with a girl in the middle of the street because you're bi? And I was like, that's not how things work. You value each gender, no matter what gender, even the absence of gender, you treat them all the same. And the fact that they think you're less loyal because of that,
or they see it as a way to kind of fulfill their fantasy. So they type a number of times on Tinder, a guy would ask like, what's the rainbow for? I'm like, oh, I'm bi. And he said, oh, well, what about a threesome with your girlfriend?
And those things where they also think that you're on your way there, like as in you're using them as a stepping stone, and you're not, especially a lot of lesbian women, they feel like you're using them as like their gay experience when that's really not the case. Do you find that?
Yeah, no, I've had, I think at the beginning especially, it was really hard because, you know, I haven't had experiences. I haven't had that kind of, that night where, like, me and another girl have been, like, exploring or accidentally kissed
or something like that.
I can't prove that I've been attracted to women, so I can understand where they're coming from. I'm just saying that when you've never had that chance to navigate when you're young, it is a lot harder because people trust you less.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Nissa. I know we had to cut that short, but it's been amazing. Been great telling you our stories. This is Kiki's story, so I hope you stay tuned for the next month.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
Whoa. I like it. I really do like it. That's what it's called. I like it.
Good. Oh, wow, you're really passionate about this. I really like it too.
I like it, yes. Really, and like the it. Group's name is?
I like it.
Your starter for 10? No? Nobody?
No.
Narcotic Thrust.
Of course.
Wow.
In fact, that would be my first guess.
Thrust.
Narcotic Thrust.
I can you say that word again,
Narcotic
please?
Thrust.
I,
as a newsreader, you say that so well.
I saw with a friend in a charity shop, we saw an album by Throbbing Gristle the other day, who are a very important industrial band, in fact considered the pioneers of industrial music.
Oh wow.
And they're one of their main players, Genesis P. Orridge, is a very interesting character. He is I think he describes himself as pandrogyne.
So
he merged with his late wife. They had plastic surgery.
So they
both looked very similar.
They merged their bodies.
Well, they tried to merge their identities. Wow. It's very, very, he's a
That's
very interesting character.
That, but only he chose to do it. I did this the other day, the film with Matt Damon, and you remembered what I was talking about.
Oh, I can't.
It's not going to happen now, is it?
No, we can't remember now.
I think there was
that didn't work on radio, did it?
No, then there's more than one movie, isn't there, that Matt Damon's been in?
Well, he's gay in this, and his husband or boyfriend is a massive singer that really existed.
Oh, you're talking about Under the Behind the Candelabra, of the story of Liberace.
Oh, well done.
Yay,
10 points
well
for
done. Yes. That's what happened last year.
Ravenclaw, 10 points.
Yes, Liberace. Exactly.
Now,
he was
because he did that, didn't he? He made his partner look like him.
he did. He encouraged him to have surgery so that he'd look like a younger version of Liberace. Yes. Very interesting.
Very interesting.
Man, yes. Pat passed away in 1987. Mm. February 87, I think. Yeah. Don't know why that comes to mind.
In the times when people weren't allowed to come out.
He never did. Liberace never came out in his lifetime.
No. But, and nobody knew, did they?
I think it was the biggest open secret, wasn't it?
I mean, it wasn't obvious at all to me.
He hid it so well.
He did.
Absolutely incredible.
I didn't know he was gay.
He was so far in the closet, it was in Narnia.
It was just what a lovely phrase. Amazing. Yes, I suppose for somebody of an entertainer of that generation and also his background, as well, it would be very difficult.
We just thought he was
out.
An entertainer. Never thought about whether he was gay or not. My hairdresser was gay when I was growing up, when I was a kid. Mm. And yet, and he was a bit effeminate, and I never thought anything of it. It was just
a gay hairdresser. How unusual.
Yes, I thought so too. Stereotype. And my dad used to say, oh, he's just a little bit queer.
Just a little.
Just a little bit. 10%.
Now, do we have time to talk about the Duke of Sussex, who is going to sue?
Yes, we do.
Sue.
Great supporter of the LGBTQ community.
He is, and he's going to sue the Mail on Sunday for their treatment of his lovely wife.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think a lot of what they're doing at the moment is really important. I think Prince William and Harry have always been the two most forward-thinking of the royal family. That's probably a lot to do with the generation they've grown up in as well.
And their wonderful mother,
and
of
their
course.
Experience, and their mum. But I think...
But both couples, both princes, are very big supporters of the LGBTQ community.
Indeed. Yeah, very much so. Yeah. And their recent Instagram post that they made as a couple was extremely supportive. That was when Pride Month was happening, where they just shared a big sort of paragraph about how much they care about the community and how they want to do what they can. And I think, you know, that's the first time any royal has made a public statement, you know, making it very clear. That
well, it certainly made Trump's eyes water.
Yeah, I'm sure it did. But he had a twitch for a few days after that one.
And of course, I like this idea that they're going to, you know, the royal family are taking on the Mail on Sunday, because I think that we could actually, you know, have the Mail on Sunday for treason. I think they should be in the tower, off with their heads on spikes outside the city gates.
I would like them to be dressed, somebody to be dressed up as the Red Queen from Alice in Wonderland.
Yes, absolutely.
What do you think?
Well, yeah.
So, decomposing heads on spikes, I think.
Oh, wow, that's next level, Terry.
That's
right. Wasn't
expecting I've been thinking about this.
Is that too much?
It's got dark.
Is that journalists? Are you talking of journalists?
I think the homophobic one.
I can think of two blonde people I would like in there without naming names. Similar haircuts, enough said.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Yeah. Next week, we've got Alad. He's back. Bristol's becoming a breakout city. So that's going to be very interesting.
Brilliant. Yeah. Brilliant.
And of course, Black History Month will continue on this show, and indeed all the stations we broadcast on, and BCFM are doing lots of special stuff.
There are absolutely. Yep. There's going to be loads of stuff in the media. Yep. Yeah, check it out.
Yep. But that's it. We're out of time, I'm afraid, but of course we'll be back next week.
We'll be talking to Alad about the fast track cities.
Your presenters tonight were Steffi Barnett and Tara Fraser. Shout Out is made at BCFM Studios in Bristol.
Catch up on previous shows at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Until next time.
Bye.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.